The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Welcome to the new noise, everybody. We are talking new music, myself and Mike Howell. Hello, everybody.
Welcome
here. Someone just called you Sammy Hagar, Mike.
That's kind of interesting.
Are you hawking any tequila by any chance?
No. I don't know. Why would somebody call me Sammy Hagar? That's weird.
I don't know. You must have a Sammy Hagar vibe.
Is it because my username is Slappy Slam and everybody always thinks it's Sam? Might be.
Could be it. It could be it. That would make sense. It's good. Well, if you haven't joined us before on Twitch or on the podcast side of things, what we do every Wednesday on Twitch and Friday on podcast is we talk about the top five. I have six here because last week was six. The top five most anticipated albums of the week. Plus honorable mentions and other news that you need to know about if you like good music.
Yeah. Speaking of news, we unfortunately have some this week. I just want to take a quick minute to shout out, unfortunately, LG Petrov from Entombed has passed away. One of the classic kind of death metal bands.
Yeah.
Really unfortunate because he's honestly a great vocalist and he's been around for so long.
You know,
you always hate to see stuff like that.
It was crazy. Yeah, with Entombed, it was crazy. He was young. Like, I was surprised.
Yeah, he's 49.
He was so young just because I remember Entombed being around for like ever and being, you know, such a, you know, one of those like super influential, like, you know, early extreme metal bands that kind of paved the way for, you know, the heavy hitters of the 90s. And yeah, it's super sad, and yeah, man, I don't know, it just sucks. I couldn't believe when I read that he was only 49.
I know, cancer's a hell of a thing. I hate it.
Awful. Yeah, but thanks for bringing that up, Mike.
Hell yeah, just go spin one of their albums if you've never checked them out. If you have and they're one of your favorite bands, go buy some merch or something, because I'm sure the band could use some cash in these times, and I don't know, or just give them some support if that's all you can do.
Absolutely. There you go. Well, last week we had some records come out. In fact, we couldn't have a top five. We had to have a top six because there was so much music. Where do you want to start about talking about those releases from last week?
I don't know. Do you want to just get out of the way and talk about the elephant in the room?
We can do that. And by the elephant in the room, I assume you're referencing the album "You're Welcome" from my good pals in A Day to Remember.
I am, Shane. I've been pretty vocal about this. I did not like this album. Whatsoever. I felt that it was, I don't know, it's one of those releases that it's not really even an album. It's just kind of a collection of songs that don't have a common idea, which is fine sometimes. But I think that a lot of these songs were just kind of half strewn together. I didn't like the mix throughout the entire album. I thought it was strange and uneven. And you would go from songs where it's very clearly like, oh, this is done well. This is meant to be on the radio, like Degenerates. What's the other song? The one that starts with an R.
Resentment.
Resentment. Yeah, like those songs, like, oh, they're meant to be on the radio. They sound good. And then you have other tracks that come in and you're just like, there's a cacophony of who knows what going on. Like, I forget one of the songs, there's this like part where Jeremy comes in and he says something right at the beginning, and they have like four different versions of Jeremy's voice over it. They have like a version that's auto-tuned and a version right. that's dropped like three or four octaves. And what's going on there? And overall, I just feel like a lot of the songs were really, really weak lyrically and just overall like a disappointing release. I will say that like a disappointing A Day to Remember release is still not that bad normally, but I don't know. I couldn't get into any song off this album.
I agree. I totally agree with what you're saying about the record feeling pretty disjointed. And when you know, and I spent a little bit of time kind of, you know, reading into some of the process behind this record, because mm-hmm. let's remember that, you know, we talked about this last week, but the album actually had a release date in November 2019.
Yeah.
There was a release date. And then they ended up pushing the record back. They said it was something to do with mixing / artwork. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now we're hearing that there was 42 tracks written. And of course, when you're writing 42 tracks, how is it not going to result in some amount of disjointedness? You're not yep. writing an album, really. You're writing a collection of songs, which again, like you said, is okay. I think that the problem in this case, though, is that it does really feel like the record is pretty all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I do think it's, I don't know if cool is the right word. I think that they had a lot of courage to do this, because there's that song that starts off with there's a classical guitar part in it.
Oh, the Santana song?
Yeah, it does. And it kind of sounds like Rob Thomas, actually.
Yeah. Literally said this is in my, because I, big albums like this, I like to do first listen stream of conscious notes. And I literally wrote, "What is this? Trying to Be Smooth by Santana featuring Rob Thomas."
Like, dude, it completely crossed my mind too. When I swear to you, I had that feeling too. And it was just, there were songs like that were mm-hmm. like, if they had just not done those songs and had written heavy ass bangers, yeah. I 100% think that their fan base would have appreciated it. Now, look, if the band wants to make music for themselves and this is the direction they want to go, then all the power to them, you know, and that's mm-hmm. fine. But that being said, like, I don't know. I don't know. It felt like if you're going to do that, then do that. If you're not going to do that, don't do that. So, you know, it's tough. And I don't know what the other, Jen says out of the 42, these were the best ones. Well, I don't know what the other, whatever 42 minus 14 is, 28 songs were.
Yeah.
That didn't make it, or how finished they were or whatever, or if we'll hear them one day. I'm sure there were a few bangers in there. And there's some great parts to this record too. There's some moments mm-hmm. that come through where I'm like, oh shit. Like, there was one breakdown on this record. I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah. So, like the breakdown on, I want to say it was, Permanent is sick.
Yeah. I think that's the one. Yeah.
That was a really good track with like that bridge leading up to the breakdown was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that. And then you've got tracks like Last Chance to Dance, Old Friend. Like, it is weird that I say a quote unquote classic A Day to Remember song is the odd one out on this record. Because mm-hmm. if anything, like, you should have a couple odd one out songs. Like, if I get like Fuck You Money or those kind of like weird songs that are on there as like a one or two, like, okay, that's much more manageable. But when your entire catalog of the record doesn't feel like your entire catalog as an artist so abruptly, but you have like one or two songs on there that are catering to old fans, it just feels even more fake to me.
Right.
And
yeah,
it just comes off the bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah. No, I there was a few songs I think I said like if they it's a 14 track record too, right? And that seemingly yeah. that is becoming a thing that's happening more. Records seem to be getting longer. I don't know if that's a streaming thing or what that is. Mm-hmm. You know, the Architects record was also a lot yeah. of tracks, and so was the Machine Gun Kelly record, and then they had extended ones. Like, this is becoming more of a thing in the industry, in our scene. But I do think, like, if you were to trim the fat a little bit off this record, like, if you were to take out, you know, maybe the Viva La Mexico, maybe Bloodsucker, maybe High Diving, I think those were kind of, to me, tracks that maybe didn't fit, maybe you would have a stronger record as well. But that being said, I really liked, speaking of money, I liked the song Only Money.
Oh, I hated that song.
Oh yeah. I actually thought that was like the different sound, that was the time that the different sound worked for me, because it was, the instrumentation was done in kind of a more emotional way. And I thought that the, like, lyrically, it told the story that kind of was more meaningful than just like talking about whatever, fuck you money, or excuse me, or getting drunk in Mexico or whatever. Right. So I will say there were like some moments of, there were some flashes of, I don't know if I'd go as far to say brilliance, but there were some flashes of greatness. And then the problem was just, first of all, the rollout. Second of all, just the too many tracks. And third of all, you talked about the production. I thought that there was a lot of very, very overproduced.
To go back to, I think Only Money is the song. Yeah, looking at my notes, like, I kind of take it back. I did like the song because that was one of the first songs on the album that actually had a message, like with the, oh, it's only money, I want to spend time with my family. Like, I really like that message.
Right. Yeah.
Especially with some stuff I'm going through right now. But then, like, this song turned for me because they just had this horrible part with the mix where, I don't know if you noticed, I don't know if anybody really noticed, but there's a saxophone in this song.
Oh, really?
On the last chorus. And it's so buried in the mix, and it's such a cool instrument. Like, you can barely hear it when that album should be signing through instead of just repeating the chorus again. Like, what's going on here? I don't understand it. I can't hear you.
Oh, shit. Sorry. My bad. I had my mic muted because I was like,
oh, okay.
I'm choking up my water here.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, that's like the worst. I actually went to a little vegan cafe here in Windsor for lunch and like got a tickle in my throat in the restaurant. Was like, I can't cough. I don't have COVID, but I can't cough in public. Like, I have to do everything. And you're just like trying not to cough.
It's getting to be spring, so you could at least say, like, it's not COVID allergies. Like, please don't kill me.
It's true. That is that time of year. But I was, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. I was saying that your point, what is going on here, that came up a lot of times when I was listening to this record.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, it threw me for a loop. And I don't know. But I think, like, if this record just came out in November of 2019, as is, there wouldn't be under this much scrutiny either. And let's talk about the album title. I think it's intentionally pretentious, but it's still pretentious.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I mean, there's a different vibe to it too, though, because, like, a band like A Day to Remember, I don't expect to be pretentious whatsoever. Like, if you're doing it a little bit, like, if the album title's You're Welcome and they come out with it in 2019, I would have brushed it off a little bit more. But now that I've gotten it and it's, like, got all of these things wrong with it, that I, from a band like A Day to Remember on a record label like Fueled by Ramen, I don't expect these kind of things to be wrong in an album.
Mm-hmm.
Like the mix, these are the very basic kind of things. And so that makes the album title really condescending, and I don't like it. But you take a band like Waterparks, who is normally kind of very pretentious, and they're putting out an album just called Greatest Hits.
Right.
And I think that's great. Like, you've got to fit in your theme of your band. And I think for A Day to Remember, it's just way too quick of a change.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like, they've always been these kind of like wholesome guys, right? Like, you've got Common Courtesy, where it's like these really deep, like, from your heart kind of songs, where they're like, hey, we broke away from victory. We just got through this huge, hard part in our careers. We're writing these emotional songs that people are connecting with. And then not even like two albums later, you're getting like, yeah, You're Welcome, we're a band. Like,
yeah, no, I understand that totally. And I've known those guys forever. I toured with them. I know what they're all about. They come from, the hardcore scene. They come from underground music. Like, they have always been super hands-on with their you know, every little aspect
they
of their band.
They help out so many smaller bands.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, shit, we helped them out when they were coming up, and then they returned the favor to us when they exploded. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I don't think that this is like. It feels like, because I know them, maybe other people, it seems worse than I think it is. Like, I don't think that this, yeah. I guess these are just songs. It's just silly. Mm-hmm. And like, they've always had a silly side too, to them, mm-hmm. right? Like when you remember their old studio videos, even going back as far as Homesick, those were great, you know, and they have that side of things. So
I think it's almost like the Star Wars conundrum. Like, are the sequels bad movies? No. Are they bad Star Wars movies? Yes.
Right. That's like, true. Yeah.
We look through everything like through kind of like a colored lens based on our previous experiences with it. And I think that this album's definitely that. I would like it better if it wasn't A Day to Remember. That is definitely for sure. But it is A Day to Remember, and I've heard it as A Day to Remember, and I can't go forward from that. Like,
there you go, man. I know, 100%. Well, okay, well, let's talk about the other records, too. It wasn't the only record that came out. We talked about five others last week. We won't talk about all of them, no. But what did you think of Brand of Sacrifice? That was your number one, Mike.
Dude, this album slaps so fucking hard. Like,
it's unreal.
It is literally a freight train coming into your ears. It is the perfect length for a record like this. I have tried working to it, like doing spreadsheets. Mm-hmm. It's great for that. I've tried working out to it. It's great for that. It's just a heavy record. Everything about it is so well put together. Like, this is literally, if you're into heavy music and you're a music nerd and you like looking, oh man, I like when bands make an album flow and the orchestral side to everything and like making an actual whole complete record, this is for you. Like, literally an amazing record. First album of the year contender for me.
I have to agree with you, man. And like, I really like the first their first album too. There can be records, extreme metal records like this that like after you're a few songs in, it's mm-hmm. tiring.
Yeah.
To listen
this
to.
This does not feel that way.
No, man, not at all. Like I found the record unbelievably catchy for mm-hmm. how aggressive and relentless it was. I still felt like every vocal pattern was
different,
put together in a catchy way, and the way the lead guitars came in and even the drums were catchy. And then they again,
oh, the drumming on Ruin just blew me away.
Oh my god, like, it's unbelievable. But then they have so many nice little like breaks in the record, you know, there's some mm-hmm. interlude songs in the middle and near the
huge
end.
Huge for me. I love well done interludes. Like, those are just so good.
So it's good. It was awesome. It was perfect. And it really, the record, I think the record probably needed it. Mm-hmm. It was perfect. And then the features were great too. And they were all near the end of the record.
That.
So you get to like, you know, three quarters of the way through the record where it's like, okay, maybe I could be a little tired of this. So let's mm-hmm. freshen it up a bit.
And some of them were unexpected. Like, I wasn't expecting Eric from I Prevail to go that hard ever. And like, I expected like, oh, maybe we'll get some of his clean singing or something like that to like really change up the record. No, he just said,
oh no.
All right, Kyle, challenge accepted. I'm going to try and be heavier than you. Like, literally everybody on this record tried to. Like, Ben from Shadow of Intent killed it. Tyler from Traitors killed it.
Yeah.
Like, all of the features are so good. Like, who else was on it? Frankie from Amur. He did a great job, too. Like, and he didn't even do his, like, Amur, like, rap scream style, which is great. Like, well, I feel like all of them helped the record diversify, too, and be, like, not get boring, because their vocals are just different enough to like take you away.
100%.
Absolutely, man. Love this record.
I know. I can't really say anything but good things about this album. Just like 100% mm-hmm. all the way through. It's interesting you bring up I Prevail. Obviously, they're a very, very big band. This was, you know, a song that wasn't a single. It was buried in the end of the mm-hmm. record. I did see Eric, you know, post about it, but this is like, for me, anybody that wants to shit talk I Prevail, those are my boys. I know that those guys are legit. Eric is like the biggest metalhead I know. Mm-hmm. The guy's like, we did a podcast and I, at the end of it, I was like, yeah, man, I'm going to play a song. You know, do you have any like preference? He's like, any song? And I thought I was asking him like what I Prevail song to play at the end of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, any song. And he's like, how about some Behemoth?
Perfect.
I was like, all right, sure. Like we could do that. Yeah. You know, and yeah, man, those guys, they just love music. And I thought that this was a really cool feature and credible, because Brand of Sacrifice is like, nobody's doing it better. Nobody was doing it better before, arguably. And now here we are with them solidifying themselves like as the best newer metal band.
I didn't realize that this band was putting out an album last week until Friday. There's a new record called Beautiful Lie by a band called Degrader. And it absolutely slaps. And I suggest you go check it out if you're into hardcore / metalcore, like things like Chamber, Weeping Wound, Sleepwaker, stuff like that. Go listen to it.
Yes, Mike missed one last week. Degrader with Beautiful Lie and beautiful artwork as well. All right. Should we get into this week's music?
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready.
All right, this week, let's get it. We got a great top five. Mike, let's start it off with number five.
All right, so number five, a newer band for me, one that I kind of found out from looking around at what's coming out this week. It is a band from Boston, Massachusetts. They're kind of a southern rock, grunge rock band called Dead Poets Society.
Dead Poets Society at number five.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know much about this band at all. In fact, I think I've heard their name. Obviously, it's a memorable name because of the movie.
Yeah.
But haven't heard the band. So how would you describe them?
So I listened to a couple of songs from their greatest hit, or like their top on Spotify, and all the singles from this release. And I think like their most listened to album and stuff like that. And just generally, kind of like I said, there's a lot of cool Southern rock influences. They remind me a lot of bands like old Cage the Elephant stuff, Dinosaur Pile Up. I'm not going to say they're writing amazing riffs and stuff like that, but they're the kind of band that they're main stage opening up on the bigger rock festivals. And you get there and you're like, you know what? This band isn't half bad. And they've got some fun lyrics going on, and that's about all I got. I think it's going to be a solid release if you're into kind of rock like that.
Okay. And rest in peace, Robin Williams.
Yeah.
All right. Number four.
Number four, we've got an EP called... Oh, I forgot to say the album name for Dead Poets Society.
I can put it back on the screen.
It's literally --! which is a stupid album name.
Yeah. How do you say that? Are they gonna, like, you know, after the band's put out 10 albums, sold millions of records, sold out stadiums, what are their fans gonna call that record?
Yeah, like, I don't know. We talk a lot about good album names. This is a bad album.
Okay.
Name. Don't do this one.
Okay. Cool. I appreciate the honesty. All right. Yeah. Number four.
Number four, we've got a new EP from UK rock group, The Horrors. The EP is called Lout. This band is really interesting for me because the single that they have put out on the EP, the single's called Lout, is very different than the rest of their releases. It's almost noise rocky. It reminds me a lot of bands like Warpaint, Wargasm, 68, things like that.
Interesting.
Where it's very kind of intense. I almost want to say overmixed, but overmixed in a good way, where it's supposed to be noisy, right?
Right.
But the rest of their music sounds really kind of like jam band and shoegazy with the occasional very heavy element, but not a lot. Like long drive, lay in the bath with the lights off kind of music. So I'm really interested because I think these guys are great. They've got a phenomenal vocalist. I don't know his name, but they are just trying something new with this EP, and I always respect that. And can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, no, I like this band a lot too. They've been a band actually a long time. They've got a lot of material. It is interesting that they do have, you know, almost like an industrial sound on this new song. And I do think that that's maybe something that you're going to see a little bit of in some of the releases in 2021 is just a kind of a new element of aggression and anger that's going
to be... Is
this
the Bring Me the Horizon effect?
I mean, I think it's honestly the COVID-19 effect.
True.
Is just the frustration and the anger that's going to come through now in so many artists, because that's real. That's the feelings mm-hmm. that we're really feeling. Anybody that's making music right now, how can you not? So, you know, I think like we got the summer coming and the weather today in Michigan and southwestern Ontario was like spring-like, but who's writing these summer like fun in the sun jams this year? Like, are those going to come out? Yeah, right. Yeah, but those were written 2 years ago. Yeah. So, you know, that's what I'm saying is I think that frustration and anger is 100% going to be rearing its head this year. It's going to be a common theme we're going to have, Mike, with all the records we're mm-hmm. talking about.
I mean, I can't even say Brand of Sacrifice is going to be the best deathcore release this year, just knowing everything that's coming out. Like,
they've set the bar very high.
I know, but then you also have these heavy hitters that we'll get to later on in the months, and it's going to be a crazy year for heavy music, I think.
It's going to be a crazy year. You said it. Anything else to say about the horse? Or number three?
No, I don't really.
All right, yeah, let's get to number three. I'm excited.
All right, number three. A band that has been gone for quite a while. The lead vocalist has kind of turned his life around, which is always great. But we've got, from New Orleans, I Hate God.
I Hate God.
Classic, if not original, sludge metal band.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, again, when we talked about Entombed, mm-hmm. and just, I mean, obviously Entombed and I Hate God aren't the same, really the same style of metal at all, but they're, you know, they're
popular around the same time right. in both. Making these subgenres.
Exactly. And like you talked about the bands that were big, you know, in the 80s, like Metallica and mm-hmm. Slayer, and you know, and then Megadeth, like these bands that were bringing metal to the mainstream world. Well, bands like Entombed and I Hate God were right under there, you know, doing shows in the clubs, like bringing the real shit out. The yeah. real extreme metal. And it's really great to have I Hate God back and to see what they're going to do with, you know, modern production and all that. It's going to be I mean, cool.
The singles have sounded great. They sound fresh, like they've been produced in 2020, 2021, obviously. But they still have the sludge. They still feel dirty when you listen to them. So I think this record is going to be a real modern release, but it's going to be an I Hate God record, which I am really excited for. This is a band that I didn't know about until recently. I saw them in 2017 at Berserker Fest in wow. Michigan.
Wow.
And I didn't even know who they were, right? Like I went, it was a 2-day festival and it was like $40 for each day or $60 for both days.
Okay.
And I didn't know any of the bands on this lineup besides Gwar. I just wanted to go to see Gwar.
Sure.
And I ended up going to both days, full days, just to see new bands, right? And I Hate God blew me away. It was their first show back, actually, after Mike Nine got out of rehab and everything like that, or jail. I don't remember where he was.
Yeah.
But absolutely incredible band, and I'm really excited to hear new music from them.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, these guys are legends. And, you know, the other thing, too, about I Hate God is, like, they haven't put out that many records. Like, they...
No.
I feel like the record that I remember from when I was a kid was Take As Needed for Pain. Mm-hmm. I definitely had that one. And, you know, you used to see... In the Name of Suffering, too, is a classic record. But, you know, used to see those like... records in stores, and I Hate God, it's such aggressive, and this is like the scariest yeah. band, you know. And then this singer's like fucking crazy, and he's like on heroin and he's in and out of jail.
Oh,
it's like shit's
absolutely
wild.
Insane, dude.
So it's really good to have them back, and I'm really excited for this.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely love stories like theirs too. Like, it's definitely was easy in the 90s in extreme metal to kind of get into these extreme situations where you're in a lot of trouble, and to kind of recover and bounce back and still be able to do touring and making music is always wonderful to see.
Yeah, 100%, man. There it is. I Hate God. What's the record called?
The record is called A History of Nomadic Behavior.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Number two.
Number two, my document is obviously not wanting to let me click over. Come on, computer. You can do it. All right. Number two, another band from Massachusetts this week. Probably something that is going to surprise people that I'm excited for. We've got the new album, The Lunar Injection Kool-Aid Eclipse Conspiracy by Rob Zombie.
What was that again? The what?
The Lunar Injection Kool-Aid Eclipse Conspiracy. I tried it out. It's not an acronym for anything either.
Oh, okay.
It's just weird.
Well, he's a weird dude.
He is. And I am so excited for this release. Both singles that are out, The Triumph of King Freak and The Eternal Struggles of the Howling Man, are returns to form. They are probably some of the heaviest stuff that Rob Zombie has ever put out.
Hmm.
And I don't know. I'm just really excited for this because we've had a couple weak, strange Rob Zombie albums while he's been focusing on his movie career and things like that. And he's like, oh, I'm just kind of putting out music to put out music. It almost feels like
right.
This is Rob Zombie being Rob Zombie. I am so excited for these. These are going to make me excited to go see Rob Zombie again.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Actually, I actually caught Rob Zombie. Was it two years ago? Whenever mm-hmm. he did the co-bill with Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I didn't want to talk shit on Marilyn Manson after that show, just because, like, you know, I used to respect him mm-hmm. and all that. But Rob Zombie absolutely blew Marilyn Manson away like it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I couldn't even believe it was a co-headliner, because Rob Zombie had the most insane production, sounded awesome, super energetic. The guy's fucking mm-hmm. hilarious between songs, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it was almost like you were, you can tell the guy's an entertainer, right? Like, you can tell mm-hmm. that he knows how to do that part of it. So, yeah, absolutely. A lot of respect for Rob Zombie. I think more so after seeing him live.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a big White Zombie fan back in the day too.
Yeah, he's one of those dudes that, like, every summer there's some form of Rob Zombie tour, and it was always like, is it going to be with Marilyn Manson or is it going to be with Korn this year? Because, like, they had the Return of the Dreads for Korn, and then they had I think they called it like the horror show with Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson or something like that. I don't remember, but. Or he was on Mayhem Festival and stuff like that. So I always saw him doing these headlining shows and stuff like that. And he's just always been an incredible live act. And all my friends are like, oh man, I don't like his music and stuff like that. I'm like, just watch the show. There's
right.
fun people on stage dancing around in costume and stuff like that. And honestly, like, Rob Zombie's got such a long catalog too that when you take all the songs down to a set, it's a solid set.
For sure.
Like,
for sure. I mean, his first solo album came out under the Rob Zombie moniker in mm-hmm. 1998.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like 23 years of Rob Zombie solo work post White Zombie, which is pretty mm-hmm. wild, you know? And looking at some of the like, we laughed at the current album title, but he has such albums as The Electric Warlock, Acid Witch, Satanic Orgy Celebration Dispenser.
Great album.
That came out in 2016. And before that, we had, this is a shorter album title. It's called Venomous Rat Regeneration Vendor.
Didn't like that one as much.
Okay, and then before
title.
That was Mondo Sex Head.
Yep.
That looks like it might be an album. I mean, a live or remix album, not sure.
Something,
but anyway,
like that.
So this is not a new thing for him. There's going to be a little bit of ridiculousness. There's going to be a little bit of humor in his, like, music, which I can kind of respect that.
He is the definition of, like, shock, horror, new metal, rock. Like, I don't know. Can we call Rob Zombie new metal? Yeah, probably. Can we
what else
call
him
rock?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's Rob Zombie. He's eternal. He's such a dude. I mean, I'm excited for this record. If you've never really listened to Rob Zombie, like, I don't believe you, because Dragula is such a popular song and so many good White Zombie songs, but this record is just going to be awesome. Thunder Kiss.
There you go. I won't try the More Human Than Human riff.
That was hard.
I'll just screech y'all out of here. Anyway, no, and somebody in the chat says he's our generation's Alice Cooper, and that's not far off. I agree. So, yeah, great to see him on the list, and definitely after seeing him with full production in a shed in Michigan last year, I was like, yeah, I get this. I get why people come out in droves to see him, and why they worship the ground that he walks on. So let's go. It's awesome.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, that time has almost arrived.
That time.
We'd like to remind everybody here on Twitch that we have a really great sponsor called Rockabilia at the top of your screen. They sell band merchandise, and they have over 500,000 items, and they're super unique. A lot of stuff you can't get anywhere else, and they have great prices and great customer service. And they're really, really nice people that want to support things like our show. So if you're going to get some band merch, go there first. Check out what they've got. I'm sure you'll find something that you love. And if you use promo code Shane, that's my name, S-H-A-N-E, you can save 10% off. They're already low prices. Yeah. What's that shirt you're wearing? I can't read the metal.
This is a band called Archspire. They're Tech Death.
Oh.
Probably my favorite Tech Death band besides like Origin. And I like this band more than Origin.
Origin's insane.
This band is like crazier than Origin.
Oh, yeah.
Because like they're as fast and as technical as Origin. They don't have the space element, which sucks. But the vocalist is even crazier, because on top of like the rest of the band being techie, Origin just kind of like, they've got the death metal screams and stuff like that. This dude also does like the rapping harsh vocals and stuff like that, and like speed vocals, and oh, it's just absolutely wild.
Okay, cool. I'm glad I asked. Yeah. Rockabilia, the best since 1987. They've been doing this. 2020 was their biggest year. They're growing. They've really got things on lockdown. So go over there, pick up something pretty, okay? Rockabilia.com. Use promo code S-H-A-N-E.
Yeah, and I have my own little advertisement this week. Something that I need to bring to the people so they know it exists. Bath Pizza. It's the bathing sensation that's sweeping the nation. If you haven't eaten pizza in the bathtub yet, I highly recommend you do it. It is a bath-changing experience. Have you done this, Shane?
I have eaten tons of food in the bathtub. I have never eaten pizza, though.
Really?
No. Well, where do you put the box?
You should give it a try. So, I don't know. I didn't do the box. I got like the plate of pizza and then like walked to the bath.
Okay. I mean, I guess if you could make like a bath table, like essentially just like you just need some kind of a stool.
I've got one of those. It's like a little sliding table, so it adjusts to like the width of your bath.
Yeah.
And so like I put the plate there, or like my styrofoam whenever I'm eating like Chinese food. Bath food in general. Do I dip the pizza in the water? Only if you nasty.
No, what you do is you dunk the entire pizza in the water, and then you drink the bath water, and it's pizza water, and it's delicious. Everybody loves pizza water.
Pizza tea.
I will say, though, eating in the bath does rule. In fact, one of the Silverstein Quarantine videos earlier does feature me in the bathtub with a little charcuterie board with some, you know, some red wine and olives.
Yeah,
doing it up.
It's a good way to be.
Yeah, it
is. Nice and relaxed.
And I'd like to point out, Mike, that when you're in the bathtub, you have a very, very good access to a Bluetooth speaker.
Oh, I do.
To play some tunes.
It's got some sick tuning. Makes it perfect for echoey locations like the bathroom.
What do you get on your pizza, Mike? What are your toppings?
So, I don't know how you feel about it, but I am always pineapple.
Cool. I'm into it too.
I love it. And then, like, my pizza is weird. So I like do pineapple, feta, because I love feta cheese. It's great on everything.
Okay.
Bacon and chicken. And if I can, sub the red sauce for an Alfredo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of flavors there. That's a lot going on.
I love it. Oh, and then like if you can, some pizza places don't do it, but where they take like the chopped garlic and they like spread that on there a little bit, I like that. Mm. If they don't have it, I do it at home so that I can have it.
Interesting. Bacon, chicken, pineapple, and
feta.
Interesting. I'm not a huge feta fan. I'm not a huge, like, I really don't like goat cheese. In fact, goat cheese is probably the only...
I don't
only,
like goat cheese either.
Yeah, I know.
But I like
feta. Feta's a little bit different. I don't really like feta either, but goat cheese is especially disgusting to me. It's like literally the only food that I really can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I eat any cheese anymore, but I'm always like a big, if I'm going pizza, I have to have olives on it. So I got to have green olives.
I don't like olives. But I definitely get it. Like, I know tons of people who love olives on pizza.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love, like, green olives especially. They're my go-to. And I love mushrooms on pizza.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about the way that a mushroom cooks on a pizza that is never, it's never, you can never do that again. Cooking a mushroom any other
way. That's why I don't like onion on pizza. Because, like, I don't like the raw onion flavor. And it never, like... When you put it on a pizza, it doesn't have long enough for the onion to like caramelize and get those good flavors. So it's always just crunchy and the texture's off for me.
Yeah.
Can't do onion on pizza.
Yeah, onion, you're right. And especially like when the onion's just on the top like layer and then the onion gets kind of like dried out. Yeah. Yeah, that sucks.
What's even worse if it's like in the cheese and like you're not expecting it and you take the bite of pizza and it's still kind of raw and you're like, what is that awkward like crunch? And move.
Yeah.
Gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, I'm not super excited about onions on pizza. Like, I like onions a lot. I wouldn't say, like, that's something that I'm like, ooh, onions. Like, it doesn't really happen. But pickles on pizza is interesting. Never tried it.
Never tried it either. I could go for it.
I can't see it being
done
bad.
Right.
But,
like, I wouldn't want, like, your standard just, like, straight-up vinegar pickle. I want, like, some hot and sweets. I think that would be good.
Mm.
Like, replace my pineapple with that.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, but no, I really don't have a problem with pineapple on pizza. I wouldn't say I don't get it very often, but I don't mind it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Can I talk about music? Isn't that
I
what we're here for?
Think we are going to get into the number one album after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. So, Mike, we've talked about four great bands, very diverse, as I love it. We got Dead Poets Society, we got The Horrors, we got I Hate God, Absolute Legends, we got Rob Zombie, another legend. So, what is the number one album release of this week?
Well, we don't have a number one album release this week. We have a number one EP release this week.
And that's okay.
And that is okay. And today we're going to be talking about some young guns, some new boys to the scene, if you would. Some guys that are actually starting to get a pretty big following and I think are about to blow up with this EP.
Yes.
Need to get on it immediately and start writing an album.
Yes.
We've got from Arizona, First and Forever. We've talked about this band on the show before.
Yeah, we just talked about them. Yeah, great new band. I really like their song Chicago they put out.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't send me the EP.
They sent me the EP.
Yeah, you've heard it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's heard it. Okay, so it's number one and he's heard it. Then it must be good.
Yep.
No, it's exciting. I mean, it's always exciting to see the next generation, the new young guns that are going to be, you know, the next big scene mm-hmm. band, and yeah, these guys could do it.
This EP is 5 songs. It is straight bangers. I am calling it now. This is EP of the year nomination worthy.
Nice.
It is absolutely incredible. If you haven't heard of First and Forever and you like emo music in general, bands all the way from Sleep On It, Between You and Me, Figure It Out, All Time Low, pop punky bands, to bands that are a little bit heavier like Pierce the Veil, Sleeping with Sirens, A Skylit Drive, bands like that, you will like this EP. It has all of the classic vibes of like 2009 to 2011, 2012-ish Warp Tour.
Yeah.
But it's got some real modern songwriting in it that makes it refreshing. And it's one of those releases that it's got that classic feel to it. So I feel like when I first heard the songs, I was like, man, this is a record that I've been listening to since I was in high school. But it's got the freshness of it that I want to put it on again and again. Like, I only have the private SoundCloud link, and I've put like 7 or 8 spins on that since I got it on Friday-ish, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an incredible EP. Like, I've been able to find time between Brand of Sacrifice listens and how much I've been listening to that record this week to go back and listen to this EP too. I think it's absolutely phenomenal. I know the guys are listening because we talk, and they need to get on an album as soon as possible. I think today's Wednesday, so they put out a music video for the title track off this album, Let This Love Lie Dead. Yeah, Let This Love Lie Dead. And it's an incredible song. The video is really cool too. I got to see that as well. I can't talk about these guys enough because I think that they're one of the bands that very Pierce the Veil-esque in their career. They're going to go out, open a tour, and become the next biggest thing in our entire scene.
Well, hopefully they can do that soon. And we've talked in great depth about how tough it is for a new band to break through without the touring element. But I do really respect this band for putting themselves out there, promoting themselves, you know, coming to me with their song and saying, hey, can you play this on the air? And I did. And I really like that. And look, like, it's really cool that you're talking about a band, Mike, that literally only has released 7 songs.
Yeah.
That's all they have. 7, like, as of today, 7. And 3 of them are from the new EP, I believe. How many songs is on this new EP anyway?
5.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so this is still going to be a band, you know, that is a new band that people are just finding out about. So yeah, head over to, you know, to Spotify and have a listen to them, or what are their other handles? Looks like First Forever AZ or First and Forever AZ.
Yep. They're doing this great thing that I love a lot of newer bands are doing right now. Like, I almost want to call it guerrilla music advertising, because like, not only are they pumping stuff out on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, they're like sneaking into TikTok and they're making like nostalgic emo TikToks and like, oh, hey, by the way, this is our music at the end and stuff like that. And like, I think it's great that they're just exploring all these different platforms to do as much as they can.
Dude, this is not like a new thing. Like, people roll their eyes at that kind of marketing or whatever, but like, that's no different than I used to go in with CD samplers and I used to put them in between like records at record stores for people to find. Or, you know, I was, my friend, my best friend's band, he used to upload music to Napster, which was like, he'd put in that it was, you know, Incubus, because the bands kind of sounded like Incubus. And then he would put in like in brackets, not actually Incubus, this is my band. Just so people would find it and listen to it and go, oh shit, oh, well, this is really good. You know, there's always been, you know, these kinds of like, yeah, like you say, guerrilla marketing campaigns, and that's fine. And I'm all for it. And like, fuck it, do whatever you want. Do what you got to do.
Exactly. Like,
do it.
These guys remind me of the type of people who are dedicated to their craft and what they're doing, and confident in their music that they're not even on Warped Tour. They're not playing a local stage, but they're following the tour and handing out CDs at the line every morning.
Hey, that's what Mayday Parade did. That's how they got big. They followed the tour and they sold CDs. They just went around to people and be like, hey, listen to our band. Here's
they've got the Bluetooth speaker and they're like, hey, $5 for the CD. Yeah.
I don't even think. I think this was in their day.
They would have had like a CD player and headphones.
Discman and headphones. Yeah, absolutely. But that's it. I mean, that's, you know, and like even with like what I Prevail was doing, or still doing, I guess, with the, you know, with their marketing. Online marketing and everything, like a lot of people were like, oh, this is lame. It's like, no, it's not. This is like what you have to do if you want to make an impact, and it's smart. So good for these bands that are finding a way with all of these setbacks in 2020, 2021 to do it.
Also, real quick, something we forgot to talk about earlier, and somebody that I see is in the chat, the new Chevelle album was great. Totally forgot to talk about that. And welcome, Chevelle.
Welcome.
Apparently,
the
guys are in
they're
the
hanging
chat,
out. So. Hey, Chevelle. Yeah, I would love to have Chevelle on the Lead Singer Syndrome podcast sometimes.
Let's make it happen.
I actually think I just got a tweet, literally yesterday, or the day before, being like, "Yo, you should make it happen." So, yes, welcome, Chevelle. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, I said some nice words about Chevelle last week. I was talking about how they were one of those bands that had obviously like a massive, massive hit song, but they didn't let that define them and their fan base. And they've continued to put out great record after great record, and their fans have been along for the ride, and here they are on Twitch. That's a lot of bands from their era are probably on Twitch, so they get it.
Oh, they say message them.
We got you, Chevelle. What's up?
Well, yeah, First and Forever. Probably one of the coolest little DIY bands that's going around right now, and I can't wait for them to blow up and say I was there. Something like I like to say, this is a really good opportunity to hop in this band and have their rookie card.
Right? That's great. I mean, what's next? NFTs of bands?
That's probably
coming, but no, I like that analogy. You heard it here first, and no pun intended, First and Forever, great band. And I'm stoked. I'm just stoked for this, and thank you Mike for shedding some light on a new band that deserves some attention.
Oh hell yeah, you know what I do.
I know what you do.
You want to do a quick recap?
Let's do a quick recap. I'll let you take it away.
So for number 5, we've got the new album -! I don't know how to say that otherwise, by Dead Poets Society. For number 4, we've got the new EP Lout, LOUT, by The Horrors.
Yes.
For number 3, we've got the new album A History of Nomadic Behavior by I Hate God, all one word. For number 2, we've got the Lunar Injection Kool-Aid Eclipse Conspiracy by Rob Zombie.
Say that 3 times fast.
The Lunar Injection Kool-Aid Eclipse Conspiracy. The Lunar Injection Kool-Aid Eclipse Conspiracy. The Lunar Injection Kool-Aid Eclipse Conspiracy.
Got it. Nailed it.
Nailed it. And then for number 1 this week, the most anticipated EP of the year nomination already going through for it. The new EP, Let This Love Lie Dead by First and Forever. Absolute banger. Go have fun with it on Friday.
Fantastic.
You're going to love it. If you don't love it, at me or something. I don't care. I will tell you that you're wrong.
There you go. All right. Well, Mike, we did the top 5 list. We talked about some records that came out last week. I bet you have some honorable mentions that we didn't get to. So let's talk about them.
So we've got a big list of honorable mentions this week. It is a big week for singles, as a lot of big albums are coming out next week as well. And it's just kind of the start of the month, start of springtime. Everybody's looking to get music out. So the first one that I want to talk about, big, big fan of this podcast. Well, I don't know if he's a fan of this podcast. This podcast is a fan of him.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a new Machine Gun Kelly song coming up. Featuring Corpse, which is really cool. I like Corpse. He's a cool, like, emo horror rapper almost, I guess. So And MGK recently came out and said he wants to piss some more people off again. So we'll see what this track is about.
Yeah, man. This guy, like, just when you think he's not stealing the headlines anymore, mm-hmm. he's back already doing it. And the guy's getting more and more polarizing by the day. You know, he put this thing out and then, like, a lot of people were, like he said, pissed off. I was pretty into it, to be honest. And the record actually made my top 10 of the year. I still think it's a good record. So I'll be listening to this.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I mean, even if you don't like MGK, you're going to be listening to this so that you can talk shit about it. Like,
yeah,
have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Some more singles. I've got 9 this week, so that
was
number one.
Keep them going.
We've got a new single that came out today from one of my favorite, what's the word I'm looking for?
Bands?
Well, obviously band. But they're kind of like, they're an enigma of a band because they don't release music very often, right? Like that kind of, I don't know if enigma is the right word for that.
Yeah.
It's close enough. You know what I mean. But Against the Current put out a new song. I absolutely love this band. They're going back to their punk rock roots, away from the kind of electronic heavy style that what their last album was. This band's absolutely incredible. I love them. They're a huge band.
Yeah.
Because they did some League of Legends theme songs that really popped off. One of my favorite League of Legends theme songs. And I've just always loved this band. They're great. I've seen them live. They're incredible. The lead vocalist, Chrissy, is just an amazing vocalist. And I can't wait for them to I can't wait for them to actually announce this full-length record. And can't wait to listen to it either because they've just always been great.
No, absolutely. I feel like we just talked about this band just the other week from another single, right?
Yeah, because they were teasing it last week.
Right. Exactly. Okay, what else?
So one of my favorite new progressive metal bands that I've found, this band is called Vola, V-O-L-A. They are absolutely incredible. They're putting out the final single from their new album coming in April. And if you're into kind of genty, really progressive, fun, noodly riffs, you're going to love this band. They do some really cool stuff with their vocals where they do, it's not auto-tune, but they apply like a lot of phaser to the vocals and things like that.
Okay.
Make it sound kind of animatronic sometimes. It's very cool. And their writing is just absolutely incredible. I can't wait for that single. If you can't wait either, listen to their song Head Mounted Sideways. It's absolutely incredible.
Yes, Danish-Swedish Vola explores a mix of progressive rock, electronica, and metal. There you go.
They're incredible.
Okay. Volaband.com if you want more on that.
Band that I've been really getting into, they are kind of post-hardcore with death metal influences and metalcore influences. It's a band called The Drowned God.
Okay.
I got into them because really cool band name.
I do like it, yeah.
And like it leads to a lot of cool imagery, but I think this is the third single from their new upcoming album. I don't remember the name of the album, but I've enjoyed all the singles, so I'm really excited for this release as well. And I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, no, this is American metal band, The Drowned God. I see this here, hovering somewhere between black metal and traditional hardcore. So that sounds right up our alley, especially like. You know, maybe they're going to do something like Respire, perhaps.
Less orchestral.
Maybe a little bit more like Death Heaven or something along those lines.
Yeah,
perhaps.
I would say similar to that. Similar to Harakiri for the Sky we talked about.
Yes, very cool. The Drowned God. And this is also a small band, 7,200 monthly listeners. So get on that. You heard it here first.
Hell yeah. Another band that is small and about to blow up that you're going to hear here first, Yonaka. Y-O-N-A-K-A. They are putting out a new single tomorrow. I forget the name of the single, but they are about to absolutely blow up. This band is great. Female fronted, kind of industrial pop almost. Absolutely incredible. It almost reminds me of like, if you took Billie Eilish and crossed it with like Motionless and White almost.
Okay.
Which is cool. Like keep the dark elements, but add kind of like the industrial rock portion. This band is absolutely blown me away since I found their most recent single before this one. It's been on repeat. It's an earworm. I absolutely love this band, and I can't wait for the full length that's coming later this year.
That is Yonaka, Y-O-N-A-K-A. And yeah, they have some interesting promo pictures here on their on the internet. So yeah, yes, that's cool. That's cool. Yes, Yonaka. You knocked? Yeah, yeah, Yonaka. That's it. That's the band.
Yep. Another band that is up and coming, I think, from Australia, this band called Stepson.
Okay.
They are absolutely incredible. Their last single really turned me on to them. I forget the name of it, but they're putting out the last single before their album coming out next month. I am really excited for this release. It's another newer band for me that I haven't really heard much of and I'm just now getting into. They're
cool.
I don't know. They remind me a lot of like Strezzers almost, less noodly and less saxophony, but in the writing style, they're very good lyrically and at writing hooks.
High octane punk hardcore outfit recently signed worldwide with Sharp Tone Records.
Yeah, they're on Sharp.
And I know that's a label that you
love. Sharp Tone. So Sharp Tone's killing it.
Very good.
So kind of go a little bit more mainstream. There is a new single coming out called Terrorist by Novelists.
Okay.
Per Novelists, yeah.
Yeah, Novelists. They're the French band, correct?
Yes, they are French progressive metalcore.
Yes, yes.
They are a lot of fun. They've got a new vocalist. I can't remember his name, but he used to be in a band called Alaska.
Oh, yeah, the German band, right?
Yep.
Yes, I remember
which
all
they
this.
Got a new vocalist, too. I forget where he's from.
Yes, we talked about this before. Yep.
Novelists, absolutely incredible band. They don't know how to not write good songs. I think they've only improved and diversified their sound now that they have the new vocalist, and I can't wait to hear the single. The teasers I've heard from it are great. Their last single was great. I really hope we get to hear an album from them this year. I'm kind of skeptical because I think they're just kind of putting out like a single or two before they go in and write the album.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? It's been COVID year, so they might have everything done and ready.
Yep, there you go. And look, Mike, people are already checking out bands. Checked out the Drowned God. Really good, says Link 394.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Link. I love your video games.
We got two more. So post-hardcore outfit Convictions is putting out a new song. You aware of Convictions, I think?
I mean, that name is just like...
They've been around for a while, but haven't really taken off. I think they're starting to write bangers and have really found their groove.
Okay.
And are about to finally take off. Which is a success story we always love to see.
Yeah, so. Convictions. I feel like that's just the kind of name that you've heard before. I don't know if I've actually heard the name before
like
or not.
Volumes, structures.
Yes.
Like the one word scene band name.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of that band. Oh, Conditions. That was the band I'm mixing them up with. Remember that band? My boy Alex was in that band, Conditions. So they're not the same band as Convictions, but definitely. Looks. I'm just on the Spotify. Looks like they got a lot of material. So,
And my last single, it is coming out tomorrow, Thursday. So if it's out on Friday. You know it. You've already heard it. And this starts the time period where, for the next week, I will only be talking about this band. This is the only band you will hear from me. We're talking about Era. Era is putting out a new song. Era is putting out an album next week. I am not going to talk about any band that is not Era. I probably will. But I am so excited for this record. I am so excited to hear this fifth single. Every single has been different. And I know talking about it, to remember, we talked about how the album just felt disjointed. Every single off this Era record has felt different and like it has its own identity. And I think that this album is going to be a masterclass in how to write 10 singles that fit together on an album really well. I can't wait for this record. This new single, I think it's Shadow Autonomous is the name of the song. It's going to slap. This is their self-titled record. I think they've really found themselves as a group now that JT has kind of melded in with them.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be an album of the year record.
Well, I mean, I'm really interested now. We're talking about this record a week before we're going to talk about this record. You know what I mean? So we've got a little bit of a long wait, but no, I know you're big on this band. their big signing on UNFD. And this is, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see if this is finally the record that breaks them through. You know, while everyone's talking about Brand of Sacrifice this week, in, you know, in 2 weeks time, is it going to be Era, and are they going to be, you know, the talk of the town?
I hope
like,
so.
What is this, their fifth album?
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's so weird because when you go to places like our metalcore and metalcore Twitter and stuff like that, like people who are super into metalcore, everybody knows Era. Everybody loves Era. Era's opened so many cool tours for bands like We Came as Romans, August Burns Red, all over the place. And yeah, we're seeing it all over the chat. So many people know and love this band. But like when you go to kind of mainstream fans, they aren't really aware of Era as much. So like,
yeah,
I want this band to explode so badly and become the next big thing. Like,
no, I mean, Era's been that band that's, like, I'm sure they've done headline shows, but they've been
but
that.
It's always like that, a 500 cap room.
Yeah, but they've been that band that's on a lot. Like, they open or play second to four on like tons of big tours, you know? And I've never seen them do a headline set. And I would love for them to kindly, you know, finally be that band where it's like, okay, they can do full production set, you know, at a House of Blues style venue. That would be really great to see. And I hope that this record gets them to that point.
I hope so too. And just seeing the response from the singles already, like this album is just going to be next level from them. And I think it's really going to open a lot of people up to the more progressive metalcore and stuff like that too. Because like a lot of people know Between the Buried and Me and stuff like that, but there's not been a lot of newer progressive metal bands that have kind of blown up and gotten the spotlight. And I think Era really will. And I just love this band so much.
100%, man. 100%. Well, we can't talk about anyone else because Era is the only band we talk about now. So,
yep. Sorry, guys.
I guess that's our show.
That is. Talk to you next week about Era.
Yeah.